This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Olu George Ministries presents Focus on Freedom Podcast. We're covering the face of the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. Welcome to an encounter with timeless, transcendent, and triumphant truth. Here's your brother, friend, and messenger, Olu M. George.
We have been teaching and discussing and conversing and meditating on my book, Stressless, Lethal Answers for Nervous Soul. What a journey it had been and has been. I wrote this book to help the body of Christ deal with the epidemic of fear that came upon the world in the year 2020, a book I had written 2.5 decades ago. I revised it, rewrote some parts of it, and presented it to the body of Christ. I've received very, very, very encouraging feedback. And I want to encourage you to write me or contact me for your copy today. By the way, it's not free, but I would love to give it to you for free when and if I could. Now we're going to chapter 8 today. Remember, my major motivation was fear. I wanted to deal with fear because I had learned how to deal with fear daily, hourly, all the time. I'd learned to walk in victory over fear, whether it's the fear of man or the fear of death or the fear of the unknown. God had trained and schooled and taught me. And I wanted to encourage the body of Christ with that which I had been encouraged by God. But fear is not the only enemy we face. Remember, the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. There are thieves who want to rob you of peace. You see, peace is your portion. Peace is your inheritance in Christ. It is your right to live in peace. It is your privilege, as a matter of fact. But the enemy does not like that. Because in peace is power. When you are at peace, you are lethal in spiritual battle. When the enemy cannot rattle you, when the enemy cannot terrorize you, when he can't terrify you, you are not a victim. He says in the book of Isaiah, in righteousness shall you be established, and you shall be far from oppression. You shall be far from fear. For it will not come near you, and you'll be far from terror. You see, when you are in peace, when you are walking in the peace of heaven, when you are walking in the peace that Jesus brought to mankind, you become indestructible. You cannot be manipulated. You cannot be ruled over. You cannot be controlled. You cannot be dominated. Satan hates that. So he unleashes a number of thieves. One of them is fear. The other one is worry and anxiety. We dealt with legalism, which is a thief of God's blessing. We dealt with simplicity, or the lack thereof, which would be complexity, complicating the word of God, complicating the wisdom of God, complicating the leadings of God. And today, I want to deal with another thief of God's peace. And from chapter 8, like I said, we are dealing with, the title of a page of the chapter is Attitude of Gratitude. So the thief we are dealing with is ingratitude. Oh, what a common and familiar enemy. Chances are, if you are not guilty of ingratitude today, you have at least battled thoughts of ingratitude. 24 hours ago, I was talking to a young lady who was telling me how terrible their lives have been, how they have been so disadvantaged, how none of their dreams came to pass. How everyone seems to be getting a better deal. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it is very, very familiar to me. It is very easy to be an ingrate. It's very easy to be ungrateful to God and to life. Why is that? The reason is simple. Life has never been and life will never be perfect. For every human on earth, life has never been and life will never be perfect. Whether you are royalty or peasantry, life will never be perfect. Whether you are rich or poor, single or married, young or old, beautiful or plain, talented or talentless, life will never be without complications. Even if God gave you everything you wanted, life will still be complicated. I remember as a child, I read some mythical stories about a time when God sent an angel, of course a mythical story, to the earth, and people wanted to change things about their lives that they didn't like. A young man wanted a bigger head. His head was too small. And he was mercilessly mocked and bullied because he had a tiny head. So the messenger of God came and took notes, detailed notes about all everybody has wanted. And once the messenger of God returned to heaven, everybody got exactly what they wanted. The man with a small head got a head double or triple the size of his former head. The only problem was that his neck still remained the same size. And by the end of 1 year or even a week or so, this man had become so stressed out, so tired, so burdened, because the head had become bigger than the strength of his neck. So when the messenger of God showed up the following year to take their list of what they wanted, the man who had asked for a bigger head just a year ago now wanted the head he used to have. The moral of the story is that even if you got everything you want, life will not be perfect. The poor look at the rich and they envy them, thinking their lives are easier. They have no idea how complicated their lives are. They have no idea what they did to earn what they have earned. They have no idea what they have done to be where they are. They have no idea what they have to do to remain where they are. They have no idea of the fear they feel of losing everything and going back to where they came from. Life is complicated. Life is difficult. Life is tough. In fact, someone said, God has not made life difficult. He has made life impossible. No one is immune to pain. No one is immune to pressures. No one is immune to conflict. Even if some of that is imagined, it is still real to the person who feels them. And I have found in life that the thing that you don't have becomes the most important thing that you got to have. For example, if you are not married, but very wealthy, your lack of marriage makes your wealth look less fulfilling than it really is. On the other hand, if you are married and have no money, you feel that money is more important than being married. The poor feel pain. The rich also feel pain. Like it is said in my mother tongue, some people have nice hats to wear. Some don't have nice heads to wear the hats on. And some have both nice hats and nice heads. But all of them still have to deal with ingratitude. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20. Giving thanks always. How many times? Always. For how many things? For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gratitude is the cure for ingratitude. I remember the old wonderful song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you to see what the Lord has done. I have attempted in my life to begin my day by telling my Divine Father how much I love Him and to thank Him for all of His blessings, spiritual especially, but also His temporal blessing. You see, an attitude of gratitude is one of the best ways to handle the battles and the struggles of life. When you have gratitude, you gain altitude. And as you express gratitude, you gain even higher and higher altitudes until you are riding above the dark clouds of fear, worry, anxiety, discontent, inferiority, and so on. The beautiful thing about being grateful is that it does two things. It pleases the Father. Gratitude touches the Father's heart, which is a wonderful thing to have. You don't want to aggravate Father God. You want Him to be happy with you. But secondly, whatever you thank God for increases. Whatever you thank God for multiplies. Jesus thanked God for 5 loaves and 2 fish. Imagine yourself as a business person. You need a project, a 10 million rand a grant or investment, and you got 1 million. You need a 10, but you got 1 million. Jesus had 5,000 people to feed, and apart from women and children. And when they took an inventory of what they had, it came to 5 loaves and 2 fish. The normal human response is either to complain or to burden God with the details of how impossible this is, of how disadvantaged you feel and you are, but not my Yeshua. He lifted up His eyes to the heavens. He gave thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish. And because He gave thanks and maintained an attitude of gratitude in the face of insufficient resources, 5 loaves and 2 fish grew and multiplied until 5,000 ate. And there were not, it wasn't just enough. It was more than enough. 12 baskets left over. I wish what would happen if you truly are grateful for your current level of cash flow, if you truly are grateful for family, for friends, for children, even difficult ones. There are people in the world today who will give anything to be mothers, who will give anything to have a family, who will give anything even to adopt a child, but do not have the ability or the means to. I wonder what it will do for your attitude, for your mood, for your state of being if you were truly grateful for every pair of shoes, even for having feet to wear them in. And if you don't have feet but you have prosthetics, you can be grateful for those. And if you have no feet but have hands, you can be grateful for those. If you have no hands and no feet but you have eyes, you can be grateful for those. And if you have no eyes, no feet, no leg, you can be grateful that you have life at all, or that you can even hear me. There is something to be grateful for. I heard a story many, many years ago. I don't know how far it's true. I doubt that it's true, but it's a good story nonetheless. A man who had only a pair of boxer shorts, he had lost everything. Lost his income, lost his family, lost his job, lost his accommodation, his stock with a pair of breeches. And he had concluded his life was worthless. There was no point living. So he wanted to take his life. He went into the forest with a knife in hand and he wanted to stab himself. But he prayed a final prayer before stabbing himself. A prayer that went something like this. Father God, I thank, I'm coming to you now. I'm discontent with my life. You have not been good to me. You have been cruel to me. You have been unfair to me. You have blessed everybody around me except me. I have thought about why you would do this to me. I don't know why, but I'm coming to meet you today for an explanation. And then as he was about to plunge the knife into his neck or into his heart, he heard a sound. There was a man high and deep behind a tree, not too far away, begging that he should please let him have his breeches or his boxers before he stabbed himself, so as not to get human blood on it and not make him a suspect of murder. He wanted to go to town. He still had hope. He still had faith that God could do something with his life, but he needed a pair of boxers to cover his nakedness. He was even in a worse place than the man with only a pair of breeches. Well, the man finally found out As horrible as he thought his life was, his life still had some meaning, his life still had some value, and his all hope was not lost. Psalm 91, 92 verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is good in the sight of God. It is good for you. A.W. Tozer, the great saint of the last century, said, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that even the poorest of us can make and not be poorer, but richer for having made it. I need you to understand this quote. So I'll read it one more time. Gratitude is an offering which is precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest, even the poorest among us, can make this precious offering, can give this precious sacrifice, and not be poorer, but be richer for having made it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Remember, Ephesians said, for everything. This one says, in everything. You know, people used to make a distinction between in everything and for everything. People, I've heard preachers even say, you can give thanks in the midst of everything, but you cannot thank God for everything. Well, obviously, they forgot Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. So in the middle of hell, give thanks. In the belly of the whale, in the bottom of the ocean, give thanks. If as you are being tied up to be thrown into the furnace of fire, give thanks. As you are being tied up to be thrown into the den of lions, give thanks. And when the lions refuse to eat you alive, give thanks. When the king comes in the morning and calls out your name, give thanks. In all things, for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, give thanks. Thanksgiving is the lifestyle of true believers in Christ. It's not something they do once a week, or if you're American, once a year. It is a lifestyle. Oh, for a grateful heart. A grateful heart is a tonic, a medicine, an elixir of life. You don't have to wait until Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving service. We can give thanks to God for the simplest of the gift of life. The ability to see. Many, many years ago when I newly relocated to the city of Cape Town, life was hard. Life was tough. Life was impossible. I heard about a prayer on Signal Hill. I managed to make my way to Signal Hill. I didn't have a vehicle of my own. I hitched transport with a friend. I sat in the prayer meeting. And when it was over, I had nothing to do, so I sat on Signal Hill and I looked in the direction of the prison where Mandela was housed. I looked at that direction and I contemplated on the grandeur of God's creation, God's power. I looked at the beauty, the picturesque beauty of the site. And from the depth of my heart, even though my condition has not improved, nothing has changed, yet I began to feel gratitude in my heart for the privilege and the joy of living in this city that millions upon millions of people from all over God's green earth pay billions of rand to come to see. I live here. I can see this beauty without even paying a dime. The psalmist says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The affliction itself became the tutor that taught me your statutes. The Message translation puts it this way. My troubles turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn from your textbook. Real lifestyle of thanksgiving is not just thanking God for things we deem good, great, or desirable. It is thanking God for the downright ugly. It is thanking God for open doors as well as closed doors. The attitude of gratitude is infectious. It will infect every area of your life. As you learn to give thanks, grumbling and murmuring and complaining will become distasteful to you. Have you forgotten the children of Israel? They grumbled until all their carcasses died in the wilderness. They grumbled when Pharaoh made their lives difficult. They grumbled when Moses came and their life became even more difficult. They grumbled when the armies of Pharaoh closed in on them. They grumbled when they came to the bitter waters of Marah. They grumbled about their hunger. They grumbled about no water. They grumbled when 3,000 people were executed because they worshipped idols. They grumbled about their food. They grumbled about Moses' choice of a wife. They grumbled about the giants in Canaan and refused to enter in. They grumbled about Moses' leadership style. They grumbled about his under-shepherds. They grumbled about God's judgment at Taberah. They grumbled when they lacked water in the desert of Zin. They grumbled about everything. Grumbling will keep you from the promised land of God's blessing. Do not indulge in it. An attitude of gratitude puts you in a glorious cycle of blessing and grace. An attitude of gratitude releases the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Oh, there is natural joy. There is the joy of Jesus. There is supernatural joy. There's a joy that's intoxicating. That joy only comes when you learn to maintain the attitude of gratitude. Ingratitude is certainly a trap. Do not allow yourself to fall into it. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth says, be thankful God has commanded it. And for our good and his glory. God's command to be thankful is not the threatening demand of a tyrant. Rather, it is the invitation of a lifetime, the opportunity to draw near to him at any moment of the day. Every time you feel the grumbling, the murmuring, and the complaining coming up within your heart, turn it over its head with gratitude for that thing for which you are about to complain. Father God, invade my brother and my sister's heart with an attitude of gratitude. Make ingratitude and grumbling distasteful to them. The way the mouth rejects rotten food, may their hearts and their mind reject thoughts of ingratitude. And may they know the joys of gratitude today, tomorrow, and for the rest of their days. In the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Focus on Freedom Podcast. For more information, please visit alugeorgeministries.global or send a WhatsApp inquiry to +27 81 300 6633. Also, like, subscribe, and share our content on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. See you next time.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.